Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
One more hour to get you ready for the weekend here. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside my producer for tonight's show, JT Noah. We talked some spring training. Of course, the Royals got underway today, beating the Rangers 5-2. We talked at length about the Yankees changing their facial hair policy, allowing well-groomed beards, as they called it. And we got a lot of messages through the text line about that. We talked about the most influential players in the history of basketball. A tweet that I saw earlier had a Mount Rushmore of four faces. And so we kind of went through and gave our top four. We talked about K-State, Mizzou, and Kansas having big-time matchups this weekend and what it could mean for these three teams as we come down the stretch, because I think all three, some more obvious than others, right? I think Kansas and Mizzou are in the field of 68, without question. K-State has an outside shot, but it is a very, very slim outside shot. However, it's not impossible. Talked about the controversy with Bill Self, I guess if you want to call it controversy, with the reports coming out that he considered the Oklahoma State job last offseason, which he said, you know, I had a conversation, I took a call, I answered questions, I gave advice, but that was about the extent of it. Talked about the Chiefs end of season awards that were handed out earlier this week. They named Xavier Worthy as the team's rookie of the year. They named Joe Tooney as the team's MVP. We talked about the retirement of Zach Martin, one of the best offensive linemen of this generation of players, a 9-time Pro Bowler and a 7-time All Pro. Got some more NFL news to get to in regards to the Kansas City Chiefs. Couple of them are articles and reports that I'd read earlier this week, and one is a little bit more of a conversation or opinion or prediction-based topic that I want to get to on the program tonight. Our text line number, 913-586-7965. If you'd like to ask us a question, introduce a topic for us, or react to whatever it is that we're discussing on the program here tonight. I saw this article via sportsnaut.com. It's sportsnaut.com. And it references ESPN's Aaron Schatz. He's an NFL insider for ESPN who made an interesting solution to the Kansas City Chiefs salary cap problems, which there are multiple solutions. They could restructure Mahomes. They can extend Joe Tooney. They can convert money into a rot. You know, all these, they got a lot of stuff they can do. But Aaron Schatz proposed the Chiefs cutting Travis Kelce. He leads with this. This is the first quote of the suggestion. He says, quote, "This would be a very unpopular move. Duh. So stop talking. That's it. Oh, this would be an unpopular move. Yeah, which means it's not going to happen. The Chiefs will not cut Travis Kelce. They do not want to alienate the fans. More importantly, they sure as hell don't want to alienate Patrick Mahomes. You want to know how to piss off your starting quarterback? Cut his best friend and his best target." Maybe not. Best target maybe isn't the right turn of phrase, because you got Rashid coming back next year and you've got Xavier Worthy. But his most reliable target, at least in the tenure of his career as the starter for the Kansas City Chiefs.
What they
should do. That's a ridiculous suggestion.
Is try to reconstruct his contract.
Right.
There's a way better to do than cutting. There's called reconstruction of a contract.
Yeah. Restructure this bad boy. Don't just flat out cut the best tight end in the history of the National Football League. You know, he says that according to roster management system, cutting Kelce would cost the Chiefs only $2.5 million in dead money while saving them over $17 million on the salary cap. Yeah, from a monetary standpoint, I understand the sense and the logic behind it. But sense and logic don't factor into the emotional toll and the emotional impact that a decision like this would have. Travis is a leader on this football team. Travis has earned the benefit of the doubt throughout his NFL career based on his production on the field and how team-friendly he has been throughout his career as well. I mean, there was a stretch there, ending last season, I would say, from about 2017, 2018, maybe even a little bit before that, to maybe last year, where he should have been the highest-paid tight end in football. And he wasn't. In fact, he was nowhere close at many of those points. But he was cool with it because he was earning a good chunk of change and the team was winning and winning a lot. He's earned at this point in his career, based off all of those factors, the benefit of the doubt here. So yeah, I understand your logic and your reasoning, Aaron, but it's asinine. Stop. Absolutely stop. Speaking of tight ends, I find this one fascinating. Is it going to happen? Probably not, but it's nice to dream, isn't it? Shannon Sharp, we all know Shannon, right? Very, very entertaining TV personality. I suggest not looking at his Instagram. It's just a suggestion on my part. Don't look up Shannon Sharp Instagram. Bad idea for you.
Maybe that's why Elon has given you your feed.
Potentially. But Shannon Sharp, Hall of Fame tight end, one of the best to ever do it, was having a discussion about Travis Kelce and the deadline being pushed back and what the Chiefs will do there. He made a suggestion about how the Chiefs should handle the departure of Travis Kelce when it ultimately comes. And he says that the Chiefs need to know as soon as possible if they need to take action and potentially make a splashy trade, according to this article. And Shannon made a suggestion about a potential trade offer. He says, I'm running a football team. I need to know. Hey, do I need to make a trade? Hey, Atlanta, can I get Kyle Pitts from you? Woo! Listen, I know. We've all done this. I know I have, at least. Every year, I get wooed by Kyle Pitts, and he lets me down. Every year in fantasy football, in at least one league that I'm in, I'm sitting there in like the eighth or ninth round, and I'm like, dude, Kyle Pitts is still there. Like, maybe this is the year, right? Maybe this is the time where Kyle Pitts really, really figures it out, right? He's 6'6", he's 240, he runs a 4.5, he's a freak of nature. Maybe this is the year. And every year, I end up getting pie on my face.
You deserve it.
But could you imagine? Just imagine for a second. JT, stay with me here. Imagine for a second. Kyle Pitts, wearing Chiefs red, playing tight end, maybe even a little bit of Y, right? Lined up in the slot at 6'6", 240 with the outstanding intangibles. Xavier Worthy on one side, Rashee Rice on the other. Maybe another wide receiver in there somewhere, right? And Patrick Mahomes throwing him the football? Come on, man. Has Kyle Pitts had a quarterback the caliber of Patrick Mahomes in his career? Not even close.
Not many have.
He's had Kirk Cousins as his best quarterback that he's ever had. He had Marcus Mariota, and then he had Desmond Ridder, and then he had Kirk Cousins, and now he's got Michael Penix.
Are we sure Michael Penix ain't better than Kirk Cousins, though?
He might be, but he's got to prove it through more than four games
I know. Go get Brock Bowers.
That is too high a price.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, I would rather actually, you're going to call me crazy, and you can't. I would rather have Evan Engram from Jacksonville than Kyle Pitts.
And I think it would be fascinating. I think it would be so much fun to see if it could work. Somebody in the text line just said, Kyle Pitts could never figure out the Chiefs' offense. He's just not good enough.
Okay, I don't believe that.
We don't know that. Maybe he's not good enough. But I think the potential is worth the risk, isn't it?
It depends on how much you have to give up.
A fourth? A fifth?
I was thinking I think Atlanta would ask for a third.
Maybe I'm just dumb, but a third wouldn't break my heart. or maybe a fifth and a seventh, a fourth and a seventh.
I would say a fifth and a seventh would be all right, but if you give up a third, I'm not doing this. There's no way I'm giving up a third. I think you could get a tight end that's probably better than Pitts in a third.
I agree. I agree with what you're saying, right? There are better tight ends available. I don't think that there are tight ends with more potential out there within a reasonable price range than Kyle Pitts.
Right? Fair.
I mean, we're putting a lot on Kyle Pitts right now, okay? Lest we forget, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Pitts is 24 years old.
That's crazy to think.
He's only 24. Like, he's not even... If you talk about, you hear people talk about it all the time. What is the peak of an NFL career? It's somewhere between 27 and 31 years old. Right now, he's still 3 years away from his quote unquote peak. And he has shown you that he can play in the National Football League. I mean, as a rookie, he had 68 catches for 1,000 yards. Very, very reasonable numbers for a tight end. I think a great deal of, you know, his lack of productivity in the past two seasons prior to this one was because Arthur Smith's a moron. Arthur Smith Fair. Is not a good football coach in the NFL. He was bad in Atlanta. He wouldn't use Kyle Pitts. He wouldn't use Drake London. He wouldn't use Bijan Robinson, for goodness sake. And then he goes to Pittsburgh. Don't know why Mike Tomlin thought that was a good idea, and their offense in Pittsburgh was still dog water.
I don't blame Arthur for that one. I think Tomlin had more to say than Arthur did.
I don't disagree, but I think he does earn some semblance of blame for why Pittsburgh couldn't be at least a little bit better than you were last year. They were still terrible, and especially the back half of the year, there was a complete and utter collapse in Pittsburgh. I think
Kyle
Pitts can do it.
Well, I thought it was also because of the defense, a little.
Yeah, some of that is true, absolutely. I mean... In 4 years in the National Football League, he's got 196 catches for 2,600 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's an average of about 55 receptions for 739 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's only averaging about 93 targets a year. So they're not throwing in the ball all that often. And he only had 74 targets this past year for Atlanta, and he played in 17 games. I think that's problematic. The most targets he ever had in a single season in his career was 2021. His rookie year, he had 110 targets, 68 catches, 1,000 yards, and he was a Pro Bowler that year. I think he could be a phenomenal fit for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe I'm delusional, but I've found that to be a little bit interesting in that respect. I don't know. Again, 913-586-7965. Somebody in the text line said, you can't have Laporta. Are you sure, though?
Hockenson?
Now you're talking my language.
I like TJ a lot.
TJ Hockenson? Yeah. TJ can't stay healthy, man.
Well, no, but he has the initials of JT, so it works.
That's true. I'm all in on TJ Hockenson.
Also, he's one of my favorite fantasy tight ends ever to get whenever I get him.
I'd be in on TJ. I'd be in on Sam Laporta, Noah Fant, George Kittle.
George Kittle.
JT, can you answer me what those four individuals have in common?
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, wait a minute. Hold up.
They all went to Iowa, baby. Tight end you. You can't have, it is. Tight end you.
It is.
Okay, it was Miami a decade ago, but it's not anymore. Sorry. Dallas Clark? CJ Fedorowicz? How about this? Chiefs legend Tony Moiaki?
Legend?
Legends use generously there.
He had a huge shoe to fill when he came in.
He did.
And I that standard was so high. Everyone's like, he's gonna be like. I'm like, let's calm down.
I had that poster of his one handed catch in the end zone.
I was about to say the one
on my wall for years.
The one he
dude.
Made. Yeah, I was like, there's only one play I remember of him. It was the one handed catch.
I was so geeked as a Chiefs fan in like 2010, 2011 when TJ Moiaki when Moiaki. And when Tony Moiaki and Ricky Stanzi were both on the Chiefs, I was like, this is great. This is awesome. You know, Tony's going to be the starting tight end and Ricky's going to be the Chiefs starting quarterback, because at that point, the Chiefs starting quarterbacks were atrocious.
Oh, my God.
They were so bad in that era. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be the Iowa Chiefs. And they neither one of them lasted like 3 years. Tony was a great talent, just couldn't stay healthy. No, I understand. We can't have LaPorta. I don't think Detroit would give us LaPorta. That would be insane. But I would be thrilled as a Chiefs fan and as an Iowa fan. It would be the best of both worlds for me. 913 in the text line said, if we kept Kelce for another year and got Kyle Pitts and let Travis teach him the offense, then maybe that would work. His lack of production can only be because of his bad quarterbacks. Brock Bowers had worse quarterbacks last year and tore it up. There's a couple letters in front of that IT that I put up. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Not all of his lack of production can go towards just, oh, he had bad quarterbacks. You are exactly right. Brock Bowers broke the rookie record for receptions by a tight end this past year with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew throwing him the football. You're right. I will not argue that point. Atlanta's offense is a little bit more run-centric than it is pass-heavy, I would say, and that, you know, that'll drop your production and your lack of, you know, that'll drop your targets for sure when you want to run the ball more than throw it. He's also got weapons around, you know, Drake London's a guy you got to get the football to. Bijan Robinson getting involved in the passing game makes a lot of sense.
And when you trade Davante Adams when you're the Raiders, then you're left with what?
Yeah, you have Brock.
You have Brock, and that's it.
Yeah, Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers had a pretty solid
year. I was about to say, Jacoby Myers, I was going up against my brother in fantasy one week, and I was like, oh, I'm up by 24. I've got to win. And then Jacoby Myers on a Monday night decided to put up 38 points, and I just cried.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome.
That's a tough one for you. Again, 913-586-7965 is our number. Do I think it would work? Maybe. Do I want it to work? Absolutely. Do I want the Chiefs to try it? Absolutely. Do I think it will happen? No, probably not. I don't think Kyle Pitts is coming to Kansas City. I don't think Atlanta's going to trade Kyle Pitts, if I'm being completely honest. But hey, man, you know, he's just finished up his fourth year in the league. He'd be a free agent next year.
As we say, shoot your shot.
He'd be a free agent. I think that the potential and the athletic ability, I think it is worth a chance. And it might blow up in the face, right? It might blow up in everybody's face. But I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. What did the Chiefs give up for Kadarius Toney?
I thought it was a fifth. Off the top of
my
head?
Obviously, that didn't work out in the long term. But I think
short-term,
the return on investment that you got,
it kind of equaled out almost
in that Eagles Super Bowl.
It kind of balanced out in a sense where I don't know what the Giants did with that pick. So I can't say if the Giants got a good return. But what I can say is, yeah, Kadarius Toney was not the long-term haul, but he did help us win a Super Bowl with two of the biggest plays.
So Kadarius Toney got traded to Kansas City in exchange for a third and a sixth.
Oh,
so
snap.
If Kadarius Toney was worth a third and a sixth, you're telling me a third for Kyle Pitts straight up isn't worth it? Kyle Pitts has a hell of a lot more production in his career than Kadarius Toney did, and he warranted a third, and I would say it was
worth
it.
Are you thinking his ceiling's higher than Kadarius Toney? Because I think that's what the Chiefs saw was his ceiling was higher.
I would say Kyle Pitts has a higher ceiling, especially with the way that Kansas City uses its tight ends, with how much Mahomes uses his tight ends. Absolutely, I would say he's got a higher ceiling, and he certainly has a higher floor. That's been proven.
Well, yeah, he has a higher floor, but I know why the Chiefs did what they did because of the ceiling
aspect. I just, man, I look at it from the standpoint of like Rashee, Xavier Worthy, and then if Kyle Pitts is your number three option at tight end for the next 5 or 6 years in Mahomes' career, I think that's beautiful, man. That's just me.
I also wonder if the Chiefs really think or how much they trust and think of Noah Gray. Like, Noah Gray did do a lot of things this year that you were like, okay, that's nice. That could be good, doable with Kelce gone. I wonder if that's going to go into the minds of, okay, do we really need to go get a tight end, a certified tight end?
That's a fair point. And I think there is some of that. I think there is a belief in Noah Gray. So, again, this is entirely hypothetical. Just me living in my own little dream world. I've done it again. It's February, and I've already rebought into Kyle Pitts.
I heard earlier this week that Cody Tapp is not bought in. He does not want to hear it. The last couple of years, he's like, let's do it. This year, he's like, I'm out.
And good for Cody, right? You know, they say that insanity is going through the same thing again and again and again and expecting a different result. I am a clinical definition of insanity when it comes to Kyle Pitts, apparently. I still believe, man. I still believe. And I probably will every single year until the day that man retires. Be like, no, he's still got it. I think this is the year.
This is the year.
Year 13, right? He's 33. This is the year that he's going to figure it out.
You're the parent that's like, that's not my son that said that word to you. I promise you. I know my son.
Just refuse to believe that it's not going to work. 913-586-7965 is our number. It's After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber, JT Noah, your home for Kansas City sports.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking some Kansas City Chiefs hypotheticals on the show here tonight. After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber alongside JT Noah. We're talking about Shannon Sharpe suggesting that the Chiefs should make a run at the Atlanta Falcons' Kyle Pitts, and I'm in. I'm back in. I have absolutely bought into Kyle Pitts again. I'm banging my head against this wall one more time, expecting to finally be able to knock it down. And it's February. That's like record timing. I can't believe. Usually it's been like, you know, July or August, right around the time that fantasy football really starts to creep itself back into, you know, everybody's mindset right before the NFL season. I'm sitting here on February 21st saying, Kyle Pitts, give me him. Kyle Pitts in the seventh round of your fantasy football league. He's the number four tight end off the board.
And you let Shannon Sharpe, of all people, put you into this. I want you to know that.
I ate everything on the pig except the squeal.
Stop.
Shannon. I don't know why I've done this to myself. Whatever. All right, but talking about Chiefs hypotheticals, you know, the offseason so far has been very, very hyper-focused on the tackle position and left tackle specifically. What are the Chiefs going to do at left tackle? Some suggesting the draft, some suggesting free agency. And it's funny, last week, maybe even earlier this week, I can't remember, Kramer Sampson, who is a producer over on the music side, and he does some... does some social media stuff for us here at the station. Good friend of mine, Kramer, and I went to college together, actually. A lot of Northwest people around here, which I did not...
MIAA, actually, is what we call that, because there's a couple UCM, too. Don't watch yourself now.
Sorry, I forgot Warrensburg existed.
The Dirty Berg!
Yeah, I know. My sister went there, so I won't disparage
too bad. At least your sister knew where to go.
I just think that she was too rebellious. I don't think my parents taught her well enough, and so she ended up going somewhere as poor as Warrensburg, Missouri.
Wow, poor. Wow.
I didn't mean poor as in like wealth wise. I meant poor as in bad. I had a little social media clip earlier, or either last week or earlier this week. I don't know. Things have been kind of crazy around here. But he was asking me about like one big hot button issue for me with the Chiefs this offseason. And I had suggested that the Chiefs needed to draft multiple offensive tackles. And it's funny how your opinion changes over time. Because I've kind of shifted on that. And this is just one man's opinion on it. I don't think the Chiefs should draft a tackle. I don't. And I know that people are going to not like it. And maybe that they shouldn't or won't. I don't think they will. I think that DJ Humphries is going to be a very, very, very affordable deal. DJ Humphries didn't get enough of an opportunity with this Chiefs team. You give him a full offseason. You give him a mini camp and a training camp to get himself geared up and ready to go. You give him the preseason. I do believe DJ Humphries can be your left tackle. At least a serviceable one. Because at 31, you are not going to find, more likely than not, you're not going to find a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber left tackle. You're not. The chances are infinitesimal. I can't believe I just used that word on air, but I did. Right tackle is going to be Jawan Taylor. You're paying him $20 million a year plus through not this upcoming season, but the 26th season as well. He's not going anywhere. If he is, you're going to incur a huge penalty for it monetarily. and you've got two young tackles in Wanye Morris and Kingsley Suamataia, who I think still have more room to grow. Now, earlier this week, yesterday, in fact, I was, you know, sitting in on Cody and Gold with Alex, because Cody was out. I was
dad problems.
He was dadding it up yesterday because of the snow days and the winter weather that we were getting around the area. And we were talking about this exact scenario. And he and I both agreed that Kingsley, in our opinions, is more of a guard in the National Football League. And with Trey Smith likely to be no longer in Kansas City next year, I think Kingsley is an ideal replacement at right guard. A guy who, you know, I think has the athletic skills and has an understanding of the offense that I think can move over to right guard fairly well. Or if you want to go with Caliendo at right guard, that's fine. Or if you want to move Tooney to right guard and leave Caliendo at left guard, I suppose. But I don't think Caliendo as a starter on your offensive line is good enough. I think Kingsley gives you a little bit more. Wanye Morris is, in my opinion, a swing tackle. He play a little bit of left, play a little bit of right? Maybe not every down, every week as a starter. He is a serviceable stopgap band-aid tackle at times, right? If somebody goes down with an injury, right? He can swing from left to right in that sense when you need him to. I just don't think there is going to be a guy at 31 in this draft that is going to move the needle enough at left tackle. Are there options at tackle in the free agent class? Yes. Ronnie Stanley is going to be far too expensive, especially for his age and the injury, you know, the repeated injury past that he has. I just don't like that idea. You look at Cam Robinson in Jacksonville. He's coming off a pretty solid year. He's a little bit younger. But the amount of money that he wants, is it really going to be worth your while? Especially when you have a lot of other needs that need filled. Alaric Jackson is an intriguing one with the Rams because he's coming off of the best year of his career. He's younger. He's only 25 years old. He's going to be cheaper than the other two options. Plus, you know, out there in the open bias, he's an Iowa guy. So that would be intriguing for me. I just don't know if the free agent market is where you want to correct this issue, because I think the Chiefs have other needs that could be filled more adequately than trying to take a tackle at 31. Or sure as hell, moving up in the draft makes no sense, because you only have 6 picks in this draft to begin with, and you need all the picks you can get, because that's how you got to fill this roster now, and we've seen that. Brett Veach is so good at using his late-round picks to make huge, huge picks in terms of value. Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Legarius Sneed, Treverius, you know, they didn't draft Treverius Ward, but you get where I'm going with this. At 31, you could get a day one starter on the interior of your defensive line. Derek Nnadi's a free agent. Charles Omenihu is a free agent. Mike Pinnell is a free agent. Could you bring those guys back? Sure. And they probably will bring one or two of those guys back. But Pinnell is not an every down starter on your defensive line. Nnadi isn't the most productive guy, and he's coming off of a really, really injury-riddled season. I think you could find a day one starter on the interior of your defensive line to pair with Chris Jones, and you've got Karloftis on the edge. And then if you want to re-sign Omenihu, great, and he's your other edge, or you give Felix Anudike Uzomah the keys and say, it's make or break, bud. Show us you can play. Because he's shown flashes. Some of it, I think, is that he hasn't gotten enough opportunity and not enough run. Maybe some of it is that he just hasn't been ready, but he's got to be ready at some point. He's
also, all the eyes are on him. Like, everyone's like, hey, guess what? You're that local kid. You were drafted in the first round. We're gonna pinch every little nerve of yours to see.
It's year three. Like, put up or shut up, my guy. This is the time to do it. And maybe you give him a little bit of that. I also think you need a corner. And yes, Trent McDuffie is an excellent outside corner, but he is the best slot corner in football. His best position on the field is in the slot. Go find another outside corner. You got that corner alongside Jalen Watson. McDuffie's in the slot. I think that's great. You got Brian Cook in the back end along with, in my view, Jaden Hicks, because I think they will let Justin Reed walk. Hicks is the heir apparent. I think that makes the most sense. Reed's not going to come back to be a backup. I think Hicks showed you enough to prove that he can be a starter in this league. And Reed's going to be expensive, right? He's only 27, so he's young for the free agent market, for sure. And if you want to bring him back, fine. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense with the other needs that you've got across the field. I like the way that secondary would look. I also think you need a running back. Sorry, you need a running back. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is an every down back in this league. I'm not saying he is either.
Yeah, no.
He doesn't have enough proven production for me. You look at this draft class, it is running back rich. Ashton Jeanty.
Okay, way ahead of yourself, buddy.
I know. Ashton Jeanty's he's not going to be on the board. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
You know who I think?
The Amarian Hampton kid from North Carolina is an intriguing option. Of course, everybody in this area, I hear Devin Neal's name on a day-to-day basis.
I ain't saying Devin Neal, but this one is going to be like, oh, he doesn't fit the right scheme. But I'm telling you, Scataboo can do something. Scrappy, rappy, rappy do could do something for us.
Maybe, but he's not an every-down back in my view.
Well, I'm not
he's
saying
undersized.
We don't need an every-down back. We have Pacheco.
But Pacheco's not an every-down back.
But I'm saying
I think this Chiefs team needs one.
You're not going to find many of those.
I just don't know. I think there are every down backs in this draft that you could take a swing at. Amarian Hampton is an intriguing one. Admittedly, I'll be biased again, but I don't think I'm being that biased if you go watch film on him. Caleb Johnson out of the University of Iowa is an absolute dog. Dog. I think he would be a great fit in this Chiefs offense because they're an inside zone, outside zone scheme team, and that's what Iowa ran. That's what he's accustomed to. Big body dude, 6'1", 225. Runs a 4.5, high level of production in college. Doesn't have a ton of experience as a pass catcher, which could be problematic because I think that's a need for the Chiefs. But you could go find a pass catching back.
Are you going to say we need a backup quarterback too?
No.
Okay.
They need a starting running back. Pacheco's not a starting running back.
Did you think that going into last year?
I didn't. No. But his production before the injury and surely his production after the injury showed me that I don't think he's an every down back and a starter. And hopefully he proves me wrong. Hopefully he has a 1,200 yard rushing season next year.
Because I just don't see it. I just don't think they're going to go get a running back in this draft. Because I think they actually believe he is an every down back. And if they don't, they're just going to say, hey, guess what? We're going to wear you out until we don't have you anymore.
He's especially after the injury. He had a lot of drop issues trying to catch the ball out of the backfield. He doesn't show a real willingness to be patient in the backfield when he gets a carry. He just get the ball and run, right? His mindset seems to be, I'm going to follow the play call to the letter. Like, if my job here is to get the handoff and run through the B gap, I'm going to get the handoff and run directly to the B gap. Even if the A gap is open for a cutback, even if the C gap is open for me to bounce it outside, I'm going to the B gap, even if there's a defender standing right there in the middle of it. I don't sense a lot of patience from him in waiting for blocks to develop. I'm not asking him to be Le'Veon Bell in his approach there, but the interior of that offensive line is so strong that you should have a little bit of faith at times to just sit, take a beat. Let Tooney or Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith open something up for you and then hit it. He just gets the ball and he gets so north-south in such a hurry that I think it doesn't allow time for blocks to develop and it hurts you. Every time he gets a handoff, he reminds me of that buddy that you play with that is already holding the sprint trigger before the running back even gets the ball in Madden. And he just ends up running right into the butt of his center because he's already holding the sprint icon.
I was going to say he reminds me of my brother holding the turbo bun for Mario Kart before the race even starts and it burns out.
I don't know. In spurts here and there, in gadget senses, on a stretch play, outside zone runs, he makes a little bit of sense. But between the tackles, in space one-on-one, I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Hey, I know we're talking Chiefs, but this just came to my head, and I don't know why, and I know it's way off topic, but it's football related. Did you know Mays High School at one point had Caleb Grill and Avery Johnson in their quarterback room?
Mays High. Where is Mays High School?
It's in Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
It's yeah, it's over there.
But you said Caleb Grill and Avery Johnson
were their quarterbacks.
Why were they both playing quarterback?
Well, I'm just saying.
Why is Caleb Grill not being sent out to wide receiver?
He was in their quarterback room.
All right.
I mean, it was crazy because the only reason I know this is because the announcers for the Mizzou game were talking about it because Caleb Grill threw a huge pass, and they're like, oh, that's called touchdown because he was a quarterback at Mies with Avery Johnson. I'm like, that is the weirdest stat I know now.
Ouch. Kid from Mies going to Mizzou has probably got to be a tough pill to swallow if you're a KU or K-State fan.
I mean, yeah, he went to Iowa State, and then he went, I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, don't talk about him going to Iowa State.
Yeah, he probably hurt your Iowa.
That place is just terrible. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll get to some of your text messages. We got a few of them during that segment. When we come back here, it is After Hours on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber alongside JT Noah. Appreciate you guys tuning in here over the last 3 hours on this Friday night as you get set, or maybe you're already into the thick of your weekend. You're, you know, sitting in front of your radio or sitting out on the patio. I highly doubt you're sitting on the patio because it's 10 degrees outside, but you know, wherever you're sitting, maybe you got a cold beverage or libation in your hand and you're taking in a little bit of radio here on this Friday night. We appreciate it. Whether it's via our 96.5 the Fan FM signal or via the Odyssey app. If you don't have it yet, you can download it on your iPhone or your Android. Listen to all of our shows live. You can go to our podcast page and download any of our podcasts, listen to them right there through the app. You can also take a look at our chapters page where if you want to hear Chiefs conversation or you want to hear KU basketball or you want to hear about Royals, Chapters allows you to curate your listening directly to the subject you want to hear about the most, and you can do all of that in the Odyssey app. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll take a few minutes here and take a look at the text line. Jace at the Ford plant says CMSU. Back when it was, you know, Central Missouri State University. It's UCM now, of course.
Yeah.
CMSU equals Call Me Stupid University. Go Bearcats. Thanks, Jace.
Wow, Jace. That hurts.
My guy, Jace, coming to my defense here. I appreciate it. LOL, Chiefs need to wait for Norfleet. Maybe. 785 in the text line says Wharton's a free agent, too. Yeah, precisely. So Turk Wharton's a free agent. Nadi's a free agent. Pinnell's a free agent. Aminahu's a free agent. Josh Uche's a free agent. He's going to walk because they didn't use him. I don't know what the point in that trade even was. It was doomed from the word go. It made no sense at the time of the trade. And then they just never used him. It was like, what are we doing here? 785 in the text line also says they're definitely taking a running back. Pacheco will be in his last year next season of his rookie deal. Yeah, and they may not be willing to pay him the price that he may incur. I don't know. 913 says that Pacheco fell off after the injury. He didn't show a great level of production before it to begin the season, if I'm being completely honest.
And I thought Kareem Hunt was showing way more upside because I felt like he had the chip on his shoulder. He wanted to be there
right
because of what happened, obviously, in his past.
Agreed. But I don't think you can sign Kareem Hunt to an extension at the age that he's at with how beat up his body is and was during parts of that season. I'm just not sure. That same person in the text line, that 913, said, Scataboo, small and slow. I don't know how slow he is, but he is a little bit small.
He
to
is
be an
definitely
every down
small,
back.
But I don't know if he's slow.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
I'm telling you, he's going to be on a roster.
NFL Combine here coming up soon, so we'll see what happens with that. Another 913 says Pacheco is terrible. Whoa. I'm going to compare Pacheco with Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt runs through the line like a Plinko chip, chuck and jive inside the side. Huh? Pacheco is like just shooting a rubber band off your finger. Then that's it. Pacheco's terrible.
Wow. I just feel like someone doesn't like Pacheco.
Man. 316 says Mays is just northwest of Wichita. Yeah, you said like in Wichita.
Yeah,
Wichita
I call it, it's
area.
Like it's like in the Kansas City. Like when you say like Ray Peck, I just go, oh yeah, Kansas City area. Like
yeah, fair point.
Yeah,
fair point. Didn't realize Wichita had this, you know, bustling metropolitan area to it, but...
I don't know about that. Okay. You got me.
316 also mentioned Caleb Grill was a senior when Avery was a freshman. They let Caleb finish his career, and he did pretty well. Okay, so that makes more sense. So Avery wasn't the start, you know, the starting quarterback, Caleb. Okay, at that point, that makes more sense. I didn't know if it was a situation where, like, Caleb was a senior when Avery was a junior or something like that. How are they both playing? Senior to freshman makes more sense.
It's crazy to think that Grill was a quarterback in high school and still got to do basketball things like that.
Oh, the rebuttals are phenomenal. Somebody else in the text line just said, NWU. Okay. I'll entertain it for a second. NWU is not worth it, university. Go CMSU. Well, I get it. Well thought out joke. Unfortunately, NWMSU is that's the abbreviation.
Okay, buddy. Northwest Missouri State University.
NWMSU. That's technically
up
the
in
abbreviation.
Maryville.
You mean Titletown?
Titletown? You know, it's crazy to think that y'all have a smaller population than Warrensburg.
Oh yeah, much smaller.
I could not believe that, actually, honestly.
Yeah. The first time I went to Warrensburg to go up and visit my sister, I was furious that you guys had a Buffalo Wild Wings.
What? Oh, dude, Buffalo Wild Wings is the spot.
I was furious that you guys had a B-Dubs. Oh, I was so mad you guys had a B-Dubs and we didn't. And now there is a B-Dubs in Maryville. There's a Buffalo Wild Wings on campus.
Oh, I was going to say, my best friend, when he was going there last year, was a senior year, he said it was like a drive-through only or a pickup only. You don't get to sit inside it or not.
Worth it. Especially because, like, my freshman year, I stayed in the high rise dorms at Northwest. For those who are unfamiliar, there's these set of high rise dorms. For those who are familiar, I stayed in Millikan dorms. I was not in Dietrich. Absolutely not. Did not want to be associated with the Dirty D, as it's referred to. Franken, I didn't want to be in Franken. The other high-rise dorm, I always forget the name of it because it was closed during my time in college. But there was this one building in the middle of these four high-rise dorms, and it was called The Station. And, like, when you arrived on campus at the beginning of the year and you went to pick up your textbooks, you went to The Station. And when I was in college, because, again, it was literally, like, 30 yards from the front doors of my dorm room. When I was in college, there was a Papa John's inside there. That's where the Buffalo Wild Wings is now. And it's like, if I would have been in college a decade later, there would have been a Buffalo Wild Wings 30 yards from my dorm room, and I missed out on that chance. I would have spent so much of my dining dollars at Buffalo Wild Wings, without question.
Yeah, we love dining dollars, baby.
Gotta love those dining dollars, man. I always felt bad, though, because that Papa John's was there, and they did deliveries on campus through this Papa John's. I would have them deliver it to my dorm.
Yeah.
So, like, they would walk. It would take them a minute. Like, they would walk a minute to my dorm. I would go down the elevator one story and pick up my pizza. I was like, this is so pretentious. Like, I am such a tool for this.
Where I used to stay was the nicer apartments. They're called The Crossing. So, I don't know if you've been to when you were in Warrensburg. They're right by the football field. Like, my view, you could walk out my room and you saw the football field and you could just watch the football game.
Oh, yeah. My sister's she's not the RA anymore. She's like this. She covers an entire dorm.
Okay.
The ones that are right in front of the football field there.
Okay.
Yeah, I can never remember what it's called off the top of my head.
But on The Crossing, you have a Starbucks, the book club, and Spin Pizza right below you.
Ooh.
And so, like, when I'm there, I'm like, I have my girlfriend. We'll be like, all right, let's order some Spin. And just we walk down and get it. And they're like,
yeah, I should have just not been a tool and just like walked down and got my pizza. But I was a college student and I paid for it. Damn it.
I wanted to use my $90.
Bring me my pizza. 913-586-7965. We'll take a break. Come back. Wrap up the show tonight. After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber, JT Noah. Folks, it's your home for Kansas City sports. Couple minutes left here on tonight's edition of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. My producer for tonight's show is JT Noah.
I mentioned this earlier in the show, but we hadn't had a chance to get to it yet. The NFL is now opening an investigation into the allegations against Ravens kicker Justin Tucker. According to sources, they have begun speaking with some of the women who have leveled the accusations against him. According to the report, three women have already spoken with investigators, with another two that are scheduled to do so. As of right now, 16 massage therapists from 8 different Baltimore area spas have made allegations of inappropriate behavior by Tucker. All of the incidents reportedly occurred during sessions from 2012 to 2016, which were the first 5 years of Justin Tucker's career. Interestingly enough, they also kind of correlate with his relationship and marriage to his wife. Then they all kind of intertwine with that same time period. An NFL, a league spokesperson told ESPN that, quote, "We do not provide details or updates of the review process while the investigations are ongoing. Tucker has already denied any of the wrongdoings that are being leveled against him. He called them, quote, unequivocally false." Not like you would expect him to say anything to the contrary. He's not going to just like openly admit to this sort of thing. But certainly 16 accusations against him, that's a lot. That's a lot. And it's kind of hard to picture. I'm not insinuating that he's guilty one way or the other, because he may not be. But 16 accusations, it's hard to believe that all 16 are lying. Just my thought on it. And I won't go any further. Just wanted to kind of give you an update on that story. An interesting one here. Carson Beck. Of course, you know, many are familiar with Carson Beck, former quarterback at Georgia, who transferred this past offseason to the University of Miami. He and his girlfriend, Hannah Cavender, one of the Cavender twins who have become very popular on social media, had their cars stolen. According to multiple outlets, the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office arrested Tyquan DeAndre Anderson and charged him with burglary of an occupied dwelling while wearing a mask, grand theft, and grand theft of a vehicle after apparently three cars were stolen. Cavender's Range Rover was stolen, along with a Mercedes and a Lamborghini SUV that were owned by Carson Beck. The report said Anderson and three others arrived at the home in a rented vehicle. Two of them then jumped over a concrete fence to get to the driveway where two of the cars were parked. They took those cars and stole them. They then gained access to the Range Rover, which was found in the garage by using a garage door opener that they had found, and then went into the home to take the keys to the other vehicles. Deputies found the Range Rover and the Mercedes abandoned later in the day. No mention made of the Lamborghini SUV, if it was found or not, or where it may have been found, if it was. But yeah, kind of a weird story there. Carson Beck going from Georgia to Miami. Maybe he thought car-related instances were safer leaving Georgia, where they tend to race cars, but he goes to Miami, where apparently they get stolen. No, not going to react to that one. Just going to let that joke slide.
Just going to let it go. You know what? You don't get it. You don't know.
I respect it. I thought that was a good one. Yeah. They race cars at Georgia. They get stolen in Miami. Tough scene.
Which would you rather have happen?
Probably have my car stolen, in all honesty. It's been a rough go in Athens. A lot of high speed things happening in Athens there with the University of Georgia. Last little thing I got here for you with the minute or so that we've got left. Man, I really thought the U.S. was going to pull it out yesterday. Four nations face off, overtime. Canada takes down the United States. Bummer. But it's a good
McDavid. Of course it was McDavid.
Of course it was McDavid. You know, young superstar in the league, future face of the league, taking care of business in a big way. Just, you know, you hoped for better, but you got great hockey out of it. I'm not a hockey fan at all, but I tuned in and watched a little bit of it because it's something interesting. NBA, take notes. You know how they used to do the USA versus the world thing in the rookie showcase, the Rising Star showcase? Do that with the All-Star game. The NHL has shown you how you make your All-Star weekend popular again. Do that. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of After Hours. For my producer, JT Noah, I'm Logan Weber. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with you next week on After Hours here on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan. We out.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.